following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening. This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, we're back. Oh, yes. Actually, I never left. It's a long story. So Hurricane Irma was coming our way. In case you didn't know, I live in South Florida. I live in a town called Coral Springs, which is it's northeastern Broward County. That's the Fort Lauderdale, the county that Fort Lauderdale is in. And we're about as far west as you can go before you hit the Everglades. And so we're kind of in a vulnerable spot because I believe Coral Springs was built on the Everglades. You know, they just keep moving further and further east, filling in the swampland. There's a town to the west, sort of the southwest of us, called Weston. That's exactly that. When I was a kid living down here in South Florida, Weston didn't exist. It was after I went away to college. They started filling in the Everglades, and they built this town on top of it. Surprisingly, I believe Weston made it through pretty well, as we did too. But by Wednesday night, we were getting really nervous. Now, our neighbors across the street left on Tuesday. They decided they were heading out. They were the closest they could find getting out of the state, and keeping in mind where the hurricane track was saying it was going on Tuesday, they wound up going to New Orleans. And good news for them, sort of bad news for us, because we parked our car in their garage. Long story. but what we did, because they don't have a hurricane garage door, strengthened garage door, their second car and my car are in their garage. And then we backed them up, up against, a 2x4, up against the garage door to kind of brace it against the wind. So I have my car key, but I don't have theirs. So, and we do have the key to their house, but if I were to open the garage door, I'd wreck their car, basically. So we're stuck until they get back. And who knows when they'll get back. Anyway, they left. And I'll tell you, on Thursday, when we were saying, we got to get out of here, their move seemed like the smart move to take. But we're watching this thing. And on Wednesday, earlier in the week, it looked like it was coming up the East Coast, right? It was gonna, you know, skirt just north of Cuba and turn right and head straight up over Miami and Fort Lauderdale, which meant we'd be right in the path of the storm. And so at first we were thinking we were going to go to Fort Myers. Fort Myers is on the southwest coast of Florida. And so we were looking for hotels. Now, as you may know, we have a dog, little Jackson. And it's not so easy to find a hotel room that'll take dogs, even though allegedly the law says during a hurricane or some other evacuation, natural disaster, that those laws are supposed to be suspended. Still, some of the hotels we called said, sorry, we don't take dogs, or the pet fee was prohibitive. You know, sure, you could bring your dog, but it's going to be a $500 charge. So obviously that's not happening. So we started looking at like vacation rentals. A lot of people have vacation rentals. Then, so we looked at Fort Myers. Then we looked at Orlando. Actually, maybe we looked at Orlando first, thinking, you know, it's going to go up the coast. We'll be in the middle of the state. That's a safe place to be. Same thing happened with the hotels. Everything was booked. And then we looked at these vacation rentals. And people rent out entire houses. If you're going to take a trip to Disney World in Orlando, don't stay at a hotel. They have, I'm telling you, we found some great deals for like big houses where you could go, you know, take a couple of families and big, beautiful houses with pools and everything that you could rent really for the price of a hotel room. So, you know, we went Orlando, then we looked at Fort Myers. Then it's looking like, well, maybe not for, maybe we should go a little further north. I know. Tampa would be the perfect place to go. And so while we're going through all of this, it's, you know, Tuesday came and went, Wednesday came and went, Thursday and Friday, I wasn't on the air because we were sure we were evacuating. And really, one of the things that kept us from going was trying to find, you know, a place to stay because all the hotels were booked. Then I also had this fear that we would get on the road and, you know, run out of gas. Now, there are a number of different websites that let you watch traffic in real time. One is SigAlert.com. Now, I know SigAlerts are unique to California. They're named after a guy who, was a traffic reporter or something. I learned this when I did radio in Los Angeles. No place else in the country had SigAlerts, but my friend Melissa told me SigAlert.com is a website that shows real-time traffic, and it does. And the traffic by Thursday was just crazy. And by Friday, it was ridiculous. And again, my fear was we're going to get on the road. We're going to head somewhere. First of all, we're not going to be able to get a room anywhere. And then we're going to run out of gas and be stuck on the road in the car during the hurricane. So I had friends yelling at me, get out of there, go anywhere, get out of the state. Well, you know, Florida is a long state. And to drive out of the state from where we are without traffic on a good day is, it's going to take you 10 hours, maybe 11 hours. With this bumper to bumper traffic, who knows how long it could take and how much extra gas we'd use. So by the time, you know, we were thinking, well, maybe we should go. It was Thursday night. We found a place in Tampa. And we were going to go up on Friday. And we actually, we reserved it for a week just to be on the safe side. But we're watching the tracking, you know, all the paths, the different spaghetti lines going up the coast. And they seem to be inching further and further westward. And at one point, we were, the three of us, David, Allison, my daughter, and myself, we were like, all right, do we go up tonight or do we go up tomorrow? And finally, I said, you know what, let's wait until the 8 o'clock advisory tomorrow morning. We'll see what it says. And sure enough, by that time, it had moved further enough to the west that I'm thinking Tampa might not be a great, you know, solution either. So we canceled Tampa and we're thinking, well, where can we go? And thankfully, over the next 24 hours, it kept moving further and further to the west. So when it made landfall just east of Key West and came up the west coast and hit Naples on the west coast of Florida head on, Naples got it pretty bad. Probably the worst in the state. It seemed to move a little bit east, so Tampa didn't take a direct hit. But for a while there, it was looking like Tampa took a direct hit. A couple that I know evacuated from Miami and went up to Punta Gorda, which is on the west coast. It's south of Sarasota, so south of the Tampa Bay area, but north of, you know, the Naples, Fort Myers area. And they got up there only to have to turn around and evacuate again and come back home. And we heard a number of those stories on the news. A lot of people had the same idea we did, except they were more definitive in their in their decision making and left before we did. Thankfully, we never left. So the hurricane hit here. You know, it was going to be pretty much an all day Sunday thing, and it started getting, you know, a little windy and stormy, I believe, now that all the days run together at this point. But late Saturday night, it was getting really windy. And the rain was coming in squalls, you know, and we have hurricane glass on our window. So we didn't have shutters. So I could look out. I could look out the window and you could see when the rain is really hard, it going sideways. But, you know, we didn't dare go outside. My poor little Jackson had an accident in the house, but that was to be expected. When it would let up momentarily, you know, we'd take him out for a quick squirt, but that's about it. So all day Sunday, this thing was going. It was going all day Sunday and Sunday night. The windows were shaking and creaking, and I kept my worst again. My worst fear was that the window was going to shatter. But the hurricane resistant glass is allegedly stable up to 150 miles per hour. One of the news reports said Coral Springs clocked a wind gust up to 89. But I'll tell you, the scariest part of all was it Sunday night? I guess it was Sunday night. Between like 6 and 8 p.m., tornado warnings kept coming through the area. Just one after another. It was like 2.5 hours of nonstop tornado warnings. Now in Florida, we don't really get tornadoes. Occasionally we'll hear about a water spout over the ocean, but they don't come. They very rarely, they used to never, now rarely come off the ocean. And they'd come off the ocean and go all the way along, run, you know, the course of Interstate 595 straight out to the Everglades. And where they'd cross is not too far from where we are. So it was a harrowing night. It was scary, but I'll tell you, knocking on wood laminate here, we got so lucky. All of South Florida got lucky. I mean, parts of it, you saw South Beach flooded, Miami flooded. But now South Beach is flooding when there's a high tide and a full moon. So this is just, you know, the sign of the times. Where we are, we had downed trees. We do have a pool and there's a screened in pool enclosure. And we lost a few of the screen panels. We lost I don't want to call them actual trees. We lost a lot of limbs off of trees. Our backyard is completely covered with tree limbs and foliage and leaves and stuff. And there are bushes like in between us and the neighbors, sort of like privacy hedges. And some of the hedges blew over. We have neighbors who lost trees. In my neighborhood, the power stayed on, which is unbelievable because usually here, if it rains, the power goes out. I mean, we, Florida Power and Light, not the best power company on the planet. Our neighborhood kept power. The next neighborhood, there are all these little subdivisions. That's Florida for you. The next one down lost their power. I just saw a message on a post on a message board asking if they got power yet. N2Play in the chat room says we were without power 3.5 weeks after Katrina. Well, here in this house, David lived here in his previous life. And the last big hurricane that hit this area was Wilma, which also I think was like 2006 or 2005 or 2006. And after Wilma, what happened was they kept power through the storm. And then the next day it went out and they were without power for a few weeks. So here we are. We make it through the storm. We make it through Sunday night. Monday morning, it's still windy as hell. It's still stormy. We're thinking it's supposed to be long gone by now, but it kept up. And then it was starting to clear a little bit, Monday afternoon, yesterday, it was just yesterday. Wow. All of a sudden the lights went out and to both David and I, at the same time, you could hear us in different rooms go, no, and then came right back on. So we had a bit of fear. He was more fearful than I, cause he lived through it last time. To lessen the impact on all the people who are flooded out or who, God forbid, lost their lives or had a horrific time in the storm. This was a serious storm. This storm, Irma, was bigger, they say, than the state of Texas. And this was the reason we never felt comfortable going anywhere, because if you superimpose the storm, it covered the entire state. So there was no safe place to go, no place to run, no place to hide. Sounds like a song. The only place that was in the clear that wasn't in the cone was like the panhandle of Florida. It was Pensacola or you know, that area. And what I learned is by the time the storm hit, where we are was out of the cone on the bottom part of it. Didn't matter. The cone is just where the eye might come ashore or might, you know, roll over you. Even though we were out of the cone, we still had hurricane force winds at some point. And certainly tropical storm force winds. It was scary. And I'm very glad it's over. I know Jose is still out there somewhere. But what song? Nowhere to Run To, Baby. Nowhere to Hide. There's a song called Nowhere to Run. That's what the song sounds like. Anyway, so that's our Irma story. We stayed in, hunkered down. I don't ever want to hear those two words again. But, you know, hurricane season goes through November 30th. So we are just in the middle of it. We're just at the height of it. Jose is out there, but is doing weird things, and it looks like it's going to keep going north and go back out to sea, and hopefully it'll fizzle out before it goes anywhere else. I got to say something about Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico got lucky, too, in that it sort of skirted the northern tip, the northern shore of the island, but they got hit really hard. And Naomi Klein is out there saying, you just watch. This is disaster capitalism coming for Puerto Rico was already having so many problems. And Cuba, poor people of Cuba got hit so hard. And the islands, oh my goodness, from some that I don't recall the names of these little islands that frankly I'd never even heard of before, to St. Martin. They say St. Martin is like 90% flattened. These storms are getting worse and worse, and we have an EPA administrator who actually had the gall to say, this isn't the right time to talk about climate change. Really? And he invoked the people in Florida? Let me tell you, Scott Pruitt, here, I'll give you his exact quote. He said, and this was on Thursday, it was before Irma hit Florida. Here's the issue, Pruitt told CNN in a phone interview. To have any kind of focus on the cause and effect of the storm versus helping people or actually facing the effect of the storm is misplaced. What we need to focus on is access to clean water, addressing these areas of Superfund activities that may cause an attack on water, these issues of access to fuel. Those are things so important to citizens of Florida right now. And to discuss the cause and effect of these storms, there's the place and time to do that. It's not now. Hey, Pruitt, bullshit. It is now, and every day from now on, it is time. You can talk and chew gum at the same time, I hope. But now is the time. If not now, when? Seriously. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with Gotta Laugh. It is Tuesday, after all, on the Nicole Sandler Show. It's NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
And the bad news is that this is some big monster.
After battering the 400-mile length of the state of Florida, Hurricane Irma weakened into a tropical storm and left the state on Monday. The powerful storm blew ashore in the Florida Keys Sunday as a Category 4 hurricane with 130-mile-per-hour winds. Over the next few days, the remnants of Irma, in the form of a post-tropical cyclone, are expected to push northwest into Alabama, Mississippi, and Tennessee. 6 deaths in Florida have been blamed on Irma, along with 3 in Georgia and 1 in South Carolina. At least 35 people were killed in the Caribbean. Statewide, an estimated 6 million customers, or 13 million people, remain without power and could be in the dark for weeks. While praising the Coast Guard's response in rescuing hurricane victims from both Harvey and Irma, the president complimented them on improving the Coast Guard's brand.
And a group that really deserves tremendous credit is the United States Coast Guard. What they've done, I mean, they're going right into that, and you never know. You know, when you go in there, you don't know if you're going to come out. They are really, if you talk about branding, no brand has improved more than the United States Coast Guard. And FEMA and the entire group, FEMA's been incredible. So now we'll see what happens. I think the hard part is now beginning. We'll see what happens.
The United Nations Security Council on Monday unanimously approved new sanctions on North Korea. While they fall short of what the White House requested, they include capping imports of crude oil into North Korea, banning the sale of natural gas to the country, and prohibiting the sale of North Korean textiles, the country's second biggest export. North Korea called the sanctions unlawful. U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley told the council after the vote that, quote, "These are by far the strongest measures ever imposed on North Korea. But we all know these steps will only work if all nations implement them completely and aggressively."
We don't take pleasure in further strengthening sanctions today. We are not looking for war. The North Korean regime has not yet passed the point of no return. If it agrees to stop its nuclear program, it can reclaim its future. If it proves it can live in peace, the world will live in peace with it. On the other hand, if North Korea continues its dangerous path, we will continue with further pressure. The choice is theirs.
The leaders of the Senate Finance Committee on Monday pressed Equifax CEO Richard Smith for details on the scope of its massive cybersecurity breach in July, in which the data of 143 million Americans was compromised, asking who was affected by it and what actions Equifax is taking to mitigate its impacts. Senators Orrin Hatch and Ron Wyden pushed for specifics on when three top executives were notified of the hack. The CFO and two others collectively sold over $1.5 million in shares and stocks on August 1st, after the breach, but before the details of the July hack were made public. Is the president being drugged? That's what conspiracy theorist radio host Alex Jones is saying.
Trump's such a bull, he hasn't fully understood it yet, but I've talked to people, multiple ones, and they believe that they are putting a slow sedative that they're building up that's also addictive in his Diet Cokes and in his iced tea, and that the president by 6 or 7 at night is basically slurring his words and is drugged. Now, first they had to isolate him to do that. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, I've talked to people that talk to the president now at 9 at night. He is slurring his words. And I'm going to leave it at that. I've talked to folks that have talked to him directly.
Jones, who chose September 11th to break this story, a significant day because he's a 9/11 truther, never explained who was allegedly doing the drugging. Trump friend and sometime advisor Roger Stone alleged that somehow White House Chief of Staff General John Kelly was involved.
But I have now heard, not from one, but two different sources, that he seemed disoriented and was slurring his speech in conversations. To me, this is a tip-off that he may be being medicated. Is General Kelly above this? No.
As for another Trump ally, former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon gave his first extended interview since his exit to 60 Minutes Sunday night, telling Charlie Rose that Trump's firing of James Comey was a big mistake.
I don't think there's any doubt that if James Comey had not been fired, we would not have a special counsel. Yes.
So we would not have the Mueller investigation.
Would not have the Mueller investigation. Would not have the Mueller investigation in the breadth that clearly Mr. Mueller is going.
Do you believe?
Because I think it's a very directional. I think directionally it's a very different.
Do you believe Mr. Mueller should be fired?
No, I do not.
Has there been discussions in the White House about firing him?
I would not tell you about discussions in the White House, but I would tell you nothing ever heard like that.
Someone said to me that you described the firing of James Comey, you're a student of history, as the biggest mistake in political history.
That would be probably too bombastic even for me, but maybe modern political history.
So the firing of James Comey was the biggest mistake in modern political history.
If you're saying that that's associated with me, then I'll leave it at that. I got
the— And that's a bit of What's News for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. What's News is 100% listener supported, so if you appreciate our work, I hope you'll consider a contribution. For details, visit NicoleSandler.com/donate.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, Just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal, and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Yes. Every Tuesday we get together with our pal, Gotta Laugh. You know her from the Twitters, at GOTTALAFF, Shooting the Shit with Laffy. Hello?
Yes, you've reached the Hurricane Irma hotline.
Oh, God, I thought I was done with that.
No, not yet.
Okay.
Right. Press one if you believe reports that before Trump's team gave him a Hurricane Irma update, they let him choose between two formats, Legos or hand puppets.
Okay.
Press two if you believe reports that after Trump told reporters that Irma will be not good, some big monster, you don't want to be in that path, Kellyanne Conway praised his in-depth analysis.
Of course.
Press three if you think putting reporters' lives at risk by forcing them to stand outside in hurricane-force winds just to get ratings is nearly as stupid as, well, Trump's remarks quoted in Press two.
Yes. Yes, yes, the button stuck. The button stuck. Oh, my God.
I hate that so much. Did you see the segment? I don't know if you were even able to watch too much, but this one guy got, I guess, a gut punch from the gusts and the rain in the middle of a word while he was reporting out in the, you know, in the pouring, windy, horrible, you know, weather, and he literally had to stop what he was doing and staggered toward the camera, like sort of waving his hand like, you know, I can't do this right now, right in the middle of a report. If that's what they're having to go through to get ratings, I mean, that's just sick.
I don't even know that it's to get ratings. I think it's because they all do it, you know, and they used to sort of have to do it before the days of social media. This was really the first hurricane, and I've been through a number of them. I was here for Hurricane Andrew, visiting mm-hmm. from Los Angeles, my dad, who was an invalid, so I was stuck with him. That was a scary night. And then we went through the year we moved back here, which I think 2005. It was the year of Katrina. It was Wilma. It was, I think, Charlie. There was like three or four of them in a row. And so I've been through enough of these things, but we didn't have Twitter. We didn't, I mean, Facebook was there, but it wasn't, you know, maybe it wasn't even there yet. We didn't have social media. So that's how we saw what was going on where. Now you can kind of get that. People can post video, although I didn't shoot any video out the window because it was just a lot of wind blowing, you know.
But I don't understand why... The reporter has to literally stand out there. They could do a pop out. Hi, here's how bad it looks. Pop you under a shelter, do voiceover, and show the surrounding area without having to be blown to bits.
I know. I don't have an answer for you, but I think we're stuck with them. I mean, there was one. All the local news, all the local channels went 24/7. That's all we got. And,
sure.
You know, we did get CNN and MSNBC, and I'd flip over for every now and then just to see how the big boys were doing it. But, you know, we were going back and forth between the local coverage and the national coverage. And amazingly, you know, we have satellite, and it never went. It would go out for moments at a time. Usually, just like the power, when it rains here, the satellite goes. Somehow the satellite stayed up.
Wow. You're talking like DirecTV?
DirecTV, yeah.
I always wondered how that fared, you know, in bad weather, because we've been so tempted to get it because we hate our cable company that, you know, we've talked about it, but then I keep hearing stories how it cuts out or you don't get certain channels. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, it usually, I mean, every time it rains, we lose it. It's sort of a running joke here. It's ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
But it stayed on. It would go out for, you know, at most like 5 or 10 minutes, but it would come back on.
Well, good.
Yeah. So I keep saying we got really, really lucky in every sense. Not so much the TV. We probably could have done without it. But some of the reports were ridiculous. And say, you know, what scared me more than the coverage I saw of Irma was the coverage of Harvey, where people are wading out into the water and it's waist deep. You don't know what's in there with you.
It's toxic, too.
It is toxic. And by now, it's really bad. You don't know if there are live power wires.
Right. And today, one reporter on MSNBC said that she had found out right after she finished a live report standing in water that there was an alligator right behind her.
Oh, my God. Yes,
and
that happens
too. And she said, if I had known that, you know, she was terrified.
Welcome to Florida. Snakes. And there are snakes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh, just creepy. But yeah, the electrical wiring and all that. Yeah, absolutely. This is a big hazard. So I don't get it. I mean, I get where you do, like I said, a short bit where you've got a reporter out there for a second. And then they should step, like one actually did this. They stepped back behind a barrier of some kind and said, look, this is how close I am to being safe. And so, you know, I'll stand here right now because the wind's getting bad. That's how it should be.
Yes. Well, hopefully that'll change. Again, now that access is better, that we don't, that's not the only game in town, as it were. But I guess they want it to be the only game in town. They want you to watch their coverage.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't make me want to watch their coverage. All I care about are facts. I cared about the weather guy who would be up by the big chart showing where
that's
everything was.
Every time they'd cut to one of those live shots, we'd change the channel to look for a map, you know, to someone telling us where the path is. Where is it going?
Right.
So
that's exactly what I was doing. I was tracking it for you. And then I found out I have like five other friends at least who were also in areas that were terrible. So I started tracking it for everybody I knew. But other than that, you know, yes, an occasional shot of how impressively bad it was. Of course, I'm interested. But my main concern basically was how are my friends doing, not what does it look like?
Right. Well, I understand that. And that's how I felt. Look, with Houston, I have one friend who lives in Houston. And I was obsessed over her the entire time. And what's so funny is when I went on Facebook, sure enough, there she was saying, Nicole, I've been waiting to hear. I've been thinking about you nonstop. So, you know, that's how it works. I guess I'm her friend in South Florida.
Yeah. Oh, boy. But I'm just so glad you're okay. You know, we were checking in with each other during the worst of it. I was really glad to hear from you because I wasn't sure if you'd be able to message me or anything. I went to bed feeling a little better at night knowing that you were still messaging me. So thank you for that.
Well, you know, I did. I disassembled my entire studio because you can't really see it. But right next to me is a window. And although we have the hurricane impact glass, of course I'm thinking, well, a tree is going to come through this window and my entire studio is going to be gone. So I took it all apart. I wrapped up my big monster computer
that doesn't
work so well, wrapped it all up and I had it out in the hallway and people are like, get it off the floor. And we did. We put it up high in a closet. And so I was all in pieces. So then yesterday, once things settled down, I started putting the studio back together again. And I know I wrote, I'm rebuilding my studio. And you're right. You rebuild your studio. What happened?
I got so scared. Like, what? Your house went, you know. Now, you guys don't have those shutter things that you put over your windows?
No, because we have the hurricane impact glass.
So, okay.
Yeah. Good. So if you have that, you don't ostensibly need to put up the shutters, which is scary, though. And like I said, my bed is right next to a big window. And I kept hearing the creaking, the sounds that the window was making. One point, I got out of bed in the middle of the night. I said, I can't sleep there.
I don't blame you. You know, I find that like with earthquakes out here, because we don't get really bad, you know, we don't get hurricanes, occasionally little twisters, but that's about it.
Right.
The thing that scares me more than anything is the noise, is all the audibles. I could deal with the shaking if it wasn't so loud. It sounds similar to a hurricane where it's a big, loud freight train sounding noise and your whole house sounds like it's going to come down, even though it probably isn't, you know.
Right. Well, I was there for the Northridge quake. Again, this was this was in 92. And I had just gone through the Northridge quake a few months before I was here for Hurricane Andrew. I'm like, what's next? I'm going to be hit by locusts or something.
Well, Northridge was 94.
Was No, are you sure? Because I could have sworn. Okay, then there was a smaller quake before.
Yeah,
before there was. Andrew, because I was in LA for Northridge as well. So
yeah.
So maybe it was the, oh, I know what it was, and I can't think of the name of it. But it was a smaller. It was my first earthquake, and it was a smaller quake, but it was still damn scary.
Oh, it's really scary. You know, it comes out of nowhere. That's the other thing. At least, I mean, the only good thing about hurricanes, and it's really the only good thing, is that you get a warning. You have the option of, you know, starting to prepare for it.
Yes,
and with an earthquake, we don't have that.
But there's days of waiting. You know, and I liken it to cancer. When I was going through all the waiting for the tests and the results, that's like the hurricane. And I got a lot of people asking me over the course of the last week, which is worse, the hurricane or the earthquake? The earthquake, it comes and it goes, and in a minute, it's over.
True.
Though it's pretty devastating and it's scary. And Northridge was about as bad, well, as bad as I've been through. And that was pretty bad. And it woke us up in the middle of the night. It was 4:30 in the morning. And I jumped out of bed, and I was supposed to be at work that day. And something inside me just said, you're taking the day off. And I did. It happened to be Martin Luther King Day. And I told my boss the Friday before, I'm taking Monday off. I need a day off, which is out of character for me.
It's,
but so I'm there in the, you know, standing in the door jam, which is what you're supposed to do. And that 20 seconds or whatever it was felt like an hour.
It feels like forever. And by the way, that's no longer applicable. Don't stand in door jams.
No?
They tell you. The door can slam at you like, you know, with such force.
Uh-huh.
You're supposed to stay. If you are near a table, grab the leg of the table and stay under the table. You don't want to not grab the leg because it'll fly all over the place. So you want to hold on to it. Or if you're in bed, it just says stay in bed and hold a pillow over your head.
Uh-huh.
And we quake wax our whole house. We've got, I don't know if you guys know what quake wax is, but it's this putty like substance. And you put it under everything that sits on a table or on the wall, and that holds it. So if there's an earthquake, it shakes with the quake. It doesn't fall off a table and fall on you. And we also have straps attached to all our big furniture, our TVs, our computers, so they too won't fall. Our piano during the Northridge quake jumped. We have had a baby grand jumped out of the little cups around the feet.
Oh, God.
And landed next to them. That's how much an earthquake can can do. So,
yeah.
And also the things on your shelves can become projectiles, just like with a hurricane.
Yep.
So we've quake waxed and strapped down as much as we can in the house. There's things that cannot be, you know, you can't do. They're just they don't.
Right.
But for the most part, after having experienced half the things in my house breaking and stepping and cutting my leg up with glass as I was crawling toward my kids, not wanting to stand up and bleeding all over the place, I realized, wow, we got to
do
something. Change our ways.
Yeah, right.
Know?
Well, see, that's the thing. You don't get any warning with an earthquake. With this, it was almost too much warning. We knew it was coming, and we're, you know, just watching every second of courage, see where it's going now. When's the next update?
Yep.
And tracking it. And because they keep changing, you know, it's impossible to figure out where to go. I don't know if we told you we were going to go to Orlando, then to Fort Myers, then to Tampa, then to, and, you know, each time it's like, oh, I'm so glad we didn't do that. I'm so glad we didn't do that. My sister lives north, just near Ocala. And she's like, come stay with me. I'm right in the middle of the state. Well, she got hit harder than we did because it went, you know, it went to Naples, and then it was supposed to go straight up to Tampa, but it veered a little bit to the west, and they got hit. And now, granted, it was only like a category one when it hit them, but a category one hurricane is still a damn hurricane. And it's pretty heavy duty. She lost power. I don't think she had much bad damage, but she did lose her power. She's surrounded by trees. She lives, you know, on a lake. So, you know, there's no good place to go. And so for you're obsessing over where's this going to go, and the fear and the nerves and the anxiety just build and build and build the whole time you're waiting.
Absolutely. I would be a wreck. I'm a wreck anticipating the next earthquake. So
right.
I've been a wreck for 10 years, you know, but, you know, there now the LA Times has been posting article after article after article about how a big 8.2 quake it could very well hit the entire state because of the San Andreas Fault,
well,
where it would be begin down south and work its way up.
Oh my
and,
God.
And it scares the hell out of me every time I look at that stuff.
It is frightening. And one thing that didn't get much coverage is, you know, while in the middle of Irma, Mexico had a big, southern Mexico had a big 8.2 earthquake. And did you hear, you know, Trump posted not one word.
Not a thing.
Of sympathy or of anything, and Mexico took back their offer of aid for Harvey. Yep. And I don't
because
blame them.
He deserved that.
I agree.
I mean, I feel bad that we're not going to get their aid, you know, but look what he created. Speaking of creating things, you want to do TweetSpot?
Sure. Let's go there.
Okie doke.
Right now. The birdies are still here.
Welcome to my TweetSpot.
All right. So I was able to be online. I just wasn't online a lot. I was so jittery the whole time.
Yeah.
So I missed a lot of what went on these past few days since Thursday of last week. I had no news except hurricane news, except for, you know, really today.
Well, they sneaked in stories in between all the hurricane reporting. So there honestly wasn't that much that they were sneaking through some of the Russia stuff, you know, but I'll cover as much as I can here.
So Trump didn't pardon anybody because there would be good ratings with everyone watching the hurricane?
Everybody expected him to, but no, he just plugged along being Trumpy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Somebody mentioned Ted Cruz. I have that up on my tabs, just so you know, the Ted Cruz news.
I do know the Ted Cruz story. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Okay, so starting back from yesterday, Sabrina Siddiqui from The Guardian said Mitt Romney is preparing a run for Senate if Orrin Hatch retires in Utah.
Okay.
That would be so much fun seeing him again on the campaign trail,
oh,
wouldn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Oh, yes. Who let the dogs out?
Oh, God, how embarrassing that was. That was awful. Oh, my God. And then Rocky Mountain Mike replied, Mitt Romney might run for Senate, but if that doesn't work out, he'll continue to develop his desert-based music festival, Boring Man.
Hmm. That would work for him.
Yeah. So Bill McKibben, he's the big climate change activist
sure.
that we know.
350.org founder. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
350.org founder.
Yes, indeed. He certainly was. He says, as we helplessly watched Florida suffer today, remember that the fossil fuel companies knew all about climate change in the 1980s and lied.
Yep. No, they've known about this forever. But, you know, and some people have been trying to warn us forever, not that the Republicans would do anything about it.
No, because what their self-serving needs are, Trump, anything, no pun, anything that is good for the country. It's all about their money, their power, their being reelected, their donors, and we don't count. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So Bannon, as we know, Steve Bannon
was on 60 Minutes. And we did not get 60 Minutes. See, this is what I'm talking about. The local channels, the network affiliates, were 24/7 hurricane. So we didn't get 60 Minutes. I probably would have gotten nauseous if I had watched the whole thing. I saw some clips online today, but yeah, we didn't get 60 Minutes on Sunday night.
I didn't watch it. I refused to watch it. I got plenty of clips. I saw them online.
Uh-huh.
I saw them on TV. I didn't need to watch that ass. Anyway, so he said on 60 Minutes about diversity, I went to integrated Catholic school. I don't need to be lectured by limousine liberals about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To which Andrew Kaczynski, K-File, on CNN, said, weird line, Bannon's senior year per his yearbook, his class had one black person.
Wow.
Yeah,
he knows
that's called diversity.
He knows all about diversity. Yeah,
yeah. He's an expert, you know,
sounds
because
that
his
way.
Face is multi. His face is multicolored. His veins,
ba-dum-boom.
His big bulbous nose.
I need the rim shot. Yeah.
Bad joke. So Kate Linthicum,
okay.
LA Times.
Yeah.
I hope I said that right. I'm embarrassed if I said that wrong. She said after a devastating earthquake and hurricane, and after Trump failed to send condolences,
mm-hmm.
and this is what you were saying, Mexico today rescinded its offer of aid to the U.S.
By the way,
did
you see Vicente Fox made a video?
Yes!
I didn't pull it because it's very visual, and this is a radio show, but he said he's going to run against Donald Trump in 2020 now. It was kind of funny. With a goat.
With
a goat. For some reason.
Oh, God. Yeah, he's amazing. You know, and Trump is basically a self-serving ass whose areas of expertise are basically being offensive and lying and alienating people. So, of course, Mexico is going to be offended and alienated.
Yeah.
So who can blame? I love Vicente Fox's tweets. He is such a riot.
Your fucking wall. We're not paying for your fucking wall. This is the former president of Mexico, who was not very well liked, by the way, which I learned from some Mexican friends that I met when I was down there in February. But he's certainly entertaining.
Oh, yeah. I don't care if he's liked or not liked. He is a riot.
Yes. Very funny.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Melissa McEwen, she writes at shakesville.com. She says, I don't give a single shit about what Trump has to say about 9/11 after he spent years peddling a lie about New Jersey Muslims cheering about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yesterday, Trump apparently, according to, I may have this, so I don't think I have it here. Keith Olbermann tweeted that during the ceremony for 9/11 yesterday, during the moments of silence, twice Trump talked through them.
Right. But he was talking to Melania or something who was standing next to him. He doesn't understand what a moment of silence means.
Well, he doesn't understand a lot of things, so why would he understand that?
Inconceivable. But he did, apparently he released a video for 9/11 that had nothing to do with 9/11 or anything. It was all about him.
Nothing. It was me, me, me. Don't ever forget me. Let's raise a flag to me. Look at me. I'm standing in front of the 9/11 thing, you know, the ceremony. Me. There was not a thing about anybody but himself, or at least not a view of anything. Right. And he didn't say anything 9/11 related other than some platitudes and then showing himself. So yeah,
amazing.
That's who he is.
Amazing.
Such a prick. Anyway, Brian Klass, he's an author and does some, so I don't know. I didn't write what he did, but anyway, he tweets a lot and he's good. 16 years ago today, Trump talked about how his building was now the tallest one since the World Trade Center fell.
That's disgusting.
Yes. Yes. And Keith Olbermann replied, and yesterday he assessed a hurricane in terms of its benefits to the Coast Guard's brand. Remember always, he's crazy.
Yes. Well, I have that. I put it in What's News. But just in case you missed it, here's Donald Trump talking about the Coast Guard and the great rescue work they're doing. But pointing out how they've improved their brand.
And a group that really deserves tremendous credit is the United States Coast Guard. What they've done, I mean, they're going right into that, and you never know. You know, when you go in there, you don't know if you're going to come out. They are really, if you talk about branding, no brand has improved more than the United States Coast Guard.
Nobody's talking about branding but him, if you talk about branding. Who's talking about branding?
It's all he can talk about, because all he was ever good at is putting his name on things in big letters that I wish would fall off. So Eamon Javers from CNBC, he said, Department of Homeland Security guy Bossert, he said, Bossert said on the relationship between climate change and hurricanes, causality is outside my ability to analyze right now.
Yeah, that's similar to what Tom Price said. This is not the time to think about it or to talk about it.
But he couldn't. Really? He can't. He basically, I can't analyze it. And he also said on the power outage, as Bossert did, I would caution people to be very, very patient here. We could have power down in homes for the coming weeks. And then LOL GOP responded, Trump wants tax breaks for the rich to get done before people in Florida even get their power back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is how self-absorbed he is. It's all about a win. It's all about him, attention to him. And the only reason, this is just a side issue here, but this is such a thing with me. When they say how he's pivoting because he's talking to Chuck Schumer and they made a little agreement about, the debt ceiling thing. That is only so that he could get a win. He could say, look what I did.
Right.
He wasn't about going, reaching out to the Democrats.
Every day, there's something else with this guy.
Every single day, and the press falls for it every single time.
Yeah. Oh, he's going independent. He's the first real independent president. No, he's not.
Yeah. No, he's not. He's not, and it's all about him. If they would just wake up, and every time Trump makes a little move this way or that way, don't pay attention to the. It's like when the hurricane was wobbling. The eye of the hurricane was wobbling. It's still a hurricane.
Yes, it's still a hurricane. It's going to hit somewhere. Just somewhere in here, it's going to hit. Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Daniel Dale from the Toronto Star said how the president commemorated 9/11 5 years ago, and he has Trump saying, why won't Obama release his college applications? Is there something foreign about them? That's what Trump tweeted on 9/11 5 years ago.
Well, something else that Keith Olbermann had tweeted today or yesterday on 9/11 was the fact that Trump didn't tweet anything commemorating the moment. You know,
right.
nothing about 9/11 on 9/11. Just
especially at that moment, it was
right.
at 8:46, I think it was. He made a deal, Keith did, about saying, you know, at 8:46 he could have tweeted something, and he
yep.
didn't. So.
Right. Yep.
Now, why did I tweeted you a video link? May God forever bless the United States.
Maybe that's the video that was all about Trump.
And then Stone Kettle responded, never forget, Stone Kettle's a riot, never forget that every single second of this video, the one that we were talking about, mm-hmm. is about Trump. No first responders, no Twin Towers, no victims, just Trump. You know, so it's like the United States of me, never forget me, may God forever bless me.
Yes.
Me.
That's his world.
So, yep.
He is his world.
Absolutely. And then Christina Wilkie from CNBC quoted Bossert saying, we continue to take climate change. Oh, this is what we were saying. Seriously, not the cause of it, but what we can see right now. So R.L. Miller, our friend R.L.
Sure.
Miller,
uh-huh.
replied, we continue to take the bubonic plague seriously, not the germs and rats and things, but the bodies we can see right now. It's so perfect. That is exactly the analogy. We, you know, look at this disease, but no, don't. Look, you know,
right.
we can't take that seriously right now. It's just insane. Okay, so for those of you who were asleep today, Ted Cruz apparently, his account liked a pornographic tweet.
A pornographic video, apparently.
Yeah, and he's blaming his staff. He's blaming his staff for liking. Sorry, but that's not what a staff member would do. He's saying he said Twitter didn't share it. The tweet became available because to view on Cruz's profile, leading to a series of awkward screenshots. And then this Guardian article starts showing all these tweets that people responded with. They removed the tweet.
The Ted Cruz official Twitter account liked this porno video on Facebook, on Twitter.
It's Twitter.
He liked this pornographic video on Twitter. And when you like something, I guess it goes out that you liked this video or tweet.
Yeah,
it,
there's under likes. If you go to anybody's Twitter account, under likes,
you can
click
see
on
who
likes,
liked it.
You see everything they've ever liked.
Oh.
I use it to save tweets. In other words, if I like something that you said, I will save it by liking it.
Oh, okay.
People use it for other reasons. They use it to acknowledge a tweet.
Right.
So if you see that somebody liked it, you go, oh, okay, they saw my tweet. That's cool. Or I tweet to save information myself.
Okay.
That's just me.
Yes.
That's, you know.
So okay. They deleted the like. They unliked it. But
yeah.
Once you like something, a like is forever.
And Ben Kuchera, who I forgot who it is now. Who's Ben Kuchera?
Somebody
is
on
author
Twitter.
Or I'm sorry?
Somebody on Twitter.
Yeah. No, but it's a verified account, and I forgot. I looked it up and I forgot. But anyway, he said Ted Cruz's sex life and kinks would be his own business if he hadn't spent a career being an asshole about everyone else's. Dude's fair game.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see who he is now. He just says we're in this together. I should anyway. But he's apparently, and he has a picture of Andy Rooney for his.
Okay, so he's a crotchety old guy,
or else he looks like Andy Rooney. Anyway, Jeet here, Jeet. Sorry, I don't know. At here, Jeet. Is his name Jeet here? Yes, he's at the New Republic. And he says, is Trump reinventing himself as an independent who can work with Democrats? This goes right to what we were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert. No, you goddamn idiot. No. And then he goes on to say, Trump's getting great press for doing what he's always been doing, humiliating Paul Ryan. Why? Next tweet, the real story is the centrist press can't let go of the fantasy that Trump is going to pivot to something better.
Oh,
and
God.
That is absolutely true.
You
absolutely
think so?
True.
You think that the media is looking for him, is thinking that he's going to become something better?
I think that they can't let go of the fantasy so that they can write about. Uh-huh. See, look, I mean, it's just something for them to. I don't know why they just can't admit who he is and what he is and stick with it. But like we were saying before, they see a little wobble and they go bananas.
Well,
I guess it's to write a story. I don't know.
It's because they report on every single movement. I don't know if it's an anticipation of something more, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here's something to watch. Dave Weigel, and I have a Brian Schatz, senator from Hawaii, his right. response, but Dave Weigel, in caps writes, it's happening. And then he does a screen grab. U.S. Senators Lindsey Graham, Bill Cassidy, Dean Heller,
yep.
Ron Johnson, and Rick Santorum, of all things, will hold a press conference on Wednesday regarding the Graham, Cassidy, Heller, Johnson proposal to reform health care. Later warning, I think it was him who warned it, that this could happen.
Yeah.
And Brian, I keep overlapping.
Brian Schatz, go ahead.
Oh, he tweeted back, this bill is actually worse. It cuts Medicaid and premium tax credits, will hurt hospitals and kill consumer benefits. Get ready.
Yeah, it's another Affordable Care Act repeal bill that they're trying to bring in here. And what's scary is that because it's Lindsey Graham's, you know, John McCain and Lindsey Graham's are best buds. The fear is that John McCain may go along with it.
Well, he's already indicated he might. He said he's keeping an open mind, or he's at first he said, well, yeah, maybe. And, you know, in other words, he's kind of letting us know this could be a possibility for him. It's going to be as bad or worse than the others. Doesn't it have to get a CBO score?
Sure. It's got to get all that. Yeah. All that.
Yeah.
But it scares the hell out of me.
Me too. Me too. You more than me, actually. But yeah, me too. You know, that they're coming back with something else, another option. By the way, that's all my tabs that I had up. So, you know, that they're coming back in a serious way is very scary, because we were hoping this would be dropped by now.
Yes, as it should have been. And, you know, John McCain was the one guy, unless someone else steps up. We got to keep our fingers crossed. And I hope the people that, you know, do their magic and work the room, so to speak, are yes. working him and holding him accountable to this, because that's frightening. You know, today, Chris Kobach had his voter fraud commission. ACLU National tweeted out, there are more people on Chris Kobach's voter fraud commission than people he has convicted of voter fraud.
Yes, I think retweeted that very thing, or somebody tweeted something very similar. And it's true. There's voter fraud doesn't exist per se. I mean, there's maybe a handful of cases among millions.
Yes.
Three?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just another day in America.
What's left of America.
Aye. So Houston still digging out from Harvey. Florida still digging out from Irma. Jose looks like won't be a threat. Keep our fingers crossed there. All we have is Typhoon Trump to worry about.
Yes, he's the earthquake unto himself.
All right. Well, with that, we are done for the day. Gotta laugh. It is always a pleasure.
Same here, doll.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And with that, we are done for the day. Tomorrow, our old pal Dave Johnson will be here. I asked him to sort of fill me in on what I missed while I was gone. But there's plenty to talk about, I'm sure. And then Thursday, Howie Klein. Friday, Jeannie Devon will be here. She's got a new book out that, I've been reading it. So I will be able to talk to you about that. We're going to be moving, by the way, on the Progressive Voices Network. This show is going to move in a few weeks to 6 p.m. Eastern, but we're going to keep the live show here at 3 o'clock. So if you have any thoughts one way or the other on that, feel free to drop me a note, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. We can talk about it. All right. All right. With that, this is Tuesday. We're done. Nicole Sandler for the Progressive Voices Network. and NicoleSandler.com. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Don't forget, we are 100% listener supported. If you can spare a few, go to NicoleSandler.com/donate.